So as you know, we have been on this journey of relaunching a church that's located here. We have been on this journey of relaunching a church, which a church just isn't a building. In fact, I mean, you could have a church well without a building, but it's a people. And as we have been pursuing and discovering what does it mean for us to relaunch as a church, I know we officially had our relaunch in May, but I'm kind of looking at this entire year as like our relaunching year. And so because we're rolling out different things, and you know, different things are starting in the fall. And from the very beginning, as soon as we kind of started to have this like shape of a vision and a mission, we as leadership, you're kind of wrestling with this question throughout everything that we were doing, and that was, what does it look like for a church to have a common life and to love their neighborhoods together? What does it look like for a church to have a common life and to love their neighborhoods together? And there's not a single answer to this question. There isn't one answer. In fact, there's multiple answers. We've already come up with multiple answers, and I'm sure there are going to be plenty more answers to be discovered. Some of the answers that we've already seen has been our farmers market. We wanted to be involved in our community, and we wanted to respond to community need, and we knew that in our community we didn't have a farmers market on Saturday morning. And so we were like, okay, let's see what it takes for us to dive in, to serve our community in this way, and to put on a farmer's market on Saturday mornings. And so that's part of what we call loving our neighborhood. It's one of the answers to what does it look like for a church to have a common life and to love their neighborhoods together. Another answer is our cafe and providing a space, a free and open space throughout the week for our community to gather and to rest and to be. And to also be able to connect with people in our community. I mean, the relationships that we've built with those in, with some of our preschool parents and some of the neighbors in our neighborhood that have found us and heard about us and stop in, like they're getting to know the people who are serving on a weekly basis. And we know when our regulars are. And so that has been just great to start to build those connections and relationships. It looks like our Love Your Neighborhood parties, where we just didn't want to like always party on our property, but we wanted to be able to go into the neighborhoods and just throw a party for the neighborhood. Our first Love Your Neighborhood party was really cool because it was primarily our church family and a lot of our preschool family. It was here, the familiar place, and so it was kind of this community coming together. We had some of our neighbors come as well. It's also like threatening rain the entire day. But the last two, Worth and Bridgeview, was really exactly what it was supposed to be. Quite literally people walking in from the neighborhood asking the question, like, oh, is this for everyone? Or they heard about it through our advertising, and it's just a party for the neighborhood. And our parties looked like the neighborhood. And so when we're smack dab in the middle of Bridgeview yesterday, and 30% of the people who show up to the party and having a good time and we're hanging out with are Muslim, I mean, that is exactly what a Love Your Neighborhood party is supposed to look like. Because we're just trying to love our neighborhood. And so that is one of the answers. And we have more answers coming up. We have, if you remember us talking about our after-school mentoring program, that's officially been given the moniker of Trek Mentoring. And that is in the process. We've talked to high schools. We're talking with elementary schools about what does it look like for us on Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons to go in and do peer-to-peer mentoring between high school students and elementary and junior high students. And then also we're reviving community meals, is what you might remember as potlucks. And so starting in the fall, we're looking towards doing more community meals together, as well as bringing back Fall Fest although it might look a little bit different, but we are bringing back Fall Fest for this year, as well as launching our Neighbor Life communities, which are neighborhood-based small groups. And so that is just a part of what that means. And so that's what it's meant when we're talking about in our neighborhoods as it is heaven, as the vision of our church. It means living out our mission, which is to love our neighborhoods as Jesus does by being present, being love, and being all in, and to fulfilling our common life together as a church, which is that we strive to be present by intentionally going with compassion through awareness, that we seek to be loved by knowing God with no condemnation through serving, and we commit to being all in by remaining in Christ with the gospel through growing. And so just as, so the leadership and I have been discussing and talking about, I mean, really everything that we're doing in relaunch, I mean, it's touching every aspect of what we're doing as a church. Touching every aspect. We've kind of left no stone unturned to a degree. Asking the question, really what does it mean for us to live out this aspect of our church, whether it's new or something that existed previously within our vision and mission? And so, just as we've been relaunching ministries and community initiatives, we have been asking the same questions regarding the stewarding of our financial resources. What does it mean for us to be a church with a life that's in common and loving our neighborhoods together? We've been asking that question also about our financial resources. And so what does stewardship look like that isn't primarily based on Sunday mornings, but is based on being in the communities? What does our stewardship look like when we're trying to reach into and build connections in our neighborhoods and build relationships with our neighbors? What does it look like because we have a preschool that we operate? I mean, that's a huge part of our financial process. What does it mean for us to be good stewards in this way? And so as we were starting to come to the conclusion of that answer, we were inspired by what the early church did. We were inspired by the passage that Barb read, and that the early church, when they were brand new to coming together and figuring out what it meant to follow Jesus, they came together and they made sure that people went without need. They supported the ministries of the church, and they knew that that wasn't going to happen because they're also facing persecution. They knew that wasn't going to happen unless they had things in common. That as is seen in Acts 4, that they had unified of heart and mind. And so as we seek and try to come to understand what does it mean for us to steward our resources properly, we ultimately came to the final conclusion of the development and launch of the In Common Fund. And so the In Common Fund was inspired by directly from Scripture of, hey, what is it, those early disciples gathering together, having things in common, having, as the Scripture says, everything in common. They're unified in heart and mind, and they brought together their possessions so that people didn't go without need. And that was the primary of their ministry then, was supporting and caring for one another. I feel like we've probably made ministry a little bit more complex these days. But the crux of it is they gathered everything together. And so that is what was inspired by the In Common Fund. So we are working towards wanting to restructure what it looks like for us to gather our funds and to fund our ministries. And so you kind of might be asking, okay, this just sounds like a whole new way for you to ask me for money. Sort of. Like, to be honest, like it is a different way. But if you're asking the question, what does it mean for what does really In Common Fund mean? Is this above and beyond what? What is it? Let me tell you what it's not. This is not supposed to be above and beyond what we would call tithes and offerings. This is not supposed to be what we would call above and beyond tithes and offerings. In fact, the way that we are structuring the In Common Fund is what's called a one-fund approach. Is that we look at all of our active ministries and we say, hey, we are going to combine them all into one fund. Instead of having all these designated funds like building and missions and children's and youth and all these different things, we are combining them all and putting them into one fund with one particular goal. The one fund and one particular goal. And so we aren't trying to ask above and beyond what you are already giving, but to create one collective goal. And so before we get a little bit more into the what it funds and all the details behind it, one of the things that I want to make sure that I make clear is this conversation about tithes and offerings. This conversation about tithes and offerings. And so really, what is tithing? I mean, in Scripture, it says, you know, you're supposed to tithe 10% of your income. And then later, Jesus talks about storehouse tithing. So it's like, okay, you give into one place. And so he talks about giving into one common place, your storehouse. But here's really the heart behind tithing. It's a reminder to us that money is not our God. That's really what Jesus is concerned about with tithing. Because Jesus very clearly said, you can only serve one master, and the two masters that are going to be coming after your heart is going to be money and Jesus. You can only serve one of them. And so really the idea behind tithing, the idea of giving of your resources is simply that it's this regular reminder that money doesn't control me. That my resources, that my possessions don't control me. And that it truly is recognizing and trusting in the faithfulness of God to us. That we can believe that when Jesus says that you don't have to worry, that seek first my kingdom and righteousness and all these things, so every need that you would have will be taken care of. Maybe not in the way that we think it needs to be taken care of, but God will take care of it. And so that's really what it comes down to. This, like, the world doesn't turn these days without money. Ministry doesn't happen. Ministry has to be funded. We all have bills that keep coming month after month after month after month. And it feels like that our world comes crashing down when we can't make ends meet, right? So this is just the reality of our world. And so as we pursue and we talk about this, I want to make sure that this is, one, very practical. It's honestly just very, very practical. Second, it's also a spiritual matter. That me as a pastor, I'm concerned about us being caught up in the worries of the world, and the primary worry of the world is economics and finance. And so if we can gather together and have this in common heart and mind about how we're supporting and believing in the mission and vision of a gathered people of Jesus called a church, then a lot more freedom happens. Trust happens within the community. We all know that, like, hey, we're all giving in what God is calling us to give in. We're all pitching in and we're all coming together. This is in common part of the idea. And I think what's interesting is that the result of the early church having things in common, having a unified heart and mind, the next thing was, yeah, they sold the possessions when they needed to so people wouldn't go without need. Like, the direct response to that was, yeah, my stuff, finances, like, whatever, like, we're going to make sure that things don't go without. And so there seems to be this direct correlation between unity in the body of Christ and provision and letting go and trust and faithfulness. And so that's what I want to make sure that as we talk about finances, that's really the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is even having the faithfulness of that widow in Mark 12 that went up and dropped her two coins in. That all these people that gave out of their excess and they gave times more than the widow, I mean, Jesus made it clear what finances were, the place and the purpose of it, and that was faithfulness. And so as we get into the nitty-gritty of stuff and how it all works, and you'd be like, well, like, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to give as much as this other person, or like, Jesus doesn't care about that. Like, even, like, we don't care about that. Our biggest thing is that it's faithfulness. It's that regular habitual act of reminding ourselves, hey, God or money isn't God over me. Like, I can trust. I can be a part of a community that's pursuing a common mission and vision. And so let's talk about a little bit what the Uncommon Fund accomplishes. So we have five key focuses that we relaunched with. So there's five up here, but there's actually six total now. One that's not up here because the fifth one in our original key focuses is excelling in our preschool. And none of our preschool tuition covers everything that we need for excelling in our preschool. So that's not connected to the Uncommon Fund. And then we added and we adopted our denomination's global mission effort. And collecting funds and supporting global missions. And so our five key focus areas that the Uncommon Fund will exclusively go to is cultivating caring neighborhoods, investing in all families, developing community wells, creating meaningful gatherings, and supporting global missions. And so as we look towards cultivating caring neighborhoods, I mean, part of it is our Love Your Neighborhood party. Just connecting our neighbors together and connecting with our neighbors and starting to build and cultivate those relationships. It's our Be My Neighbor platform that is kind of in the slow rollout that will really link in with our neighbor life groups, and our neighbor life groups are included in this. It's looking at and how do we create a care structure and a mission structure that's active in our neighborhood. That we believe that cultivating caring neighborhoods throughout our entire mission area can quite literally transform our community. And then it looks like investing in all families. This is our children's ministry, our youth ministries, our resourcing for parents, our Trek mentoring program. It's we believe that the family, no matter how your family looks, is one of the most integral part of our life. And so how we're raised and how we raise our kids and even the family dynamics that we're a part of is crucial. And there's what seems to be multiple different ways that a family can look between a single mom or a single dad or, never married, but, or, you know, divorcee and, or mixed family, blended families. Like there's so many different ways a family can look. And the reality is that our goal is just to invest in all of them and for them to be healthy. And so that's one of the key focuses of the Uncommon Fund is investing in all families and following through with that key focus. The next one is developing community wells. That goes to the Ridgeland Cafe, to the Market on Ridgeland, the farmer's market. Even a bit, I mean, although I think it falls more into cultivating caring communities, even a bit, like, we're almost creating these temporary community wells when we do these neighborhood parties. Gathering together, making connections, building relationships. It's not this ongoing thing, but we have this goal of creating these community wells. In ancient times, the well was the place in which people gathered every day. They got water, they connected, they built relationships, they shared information, and they went away with life-giving water. And so as we're talking about our physical property that we have, how are we creating a community well that that those exact things are still happening today. One key, and this also would include like any development of our property. Part of the Sunday morning or part of the cafe would have been developing a community well. And then creating meaningful gatherings. This primarily happens on Sunday mornings. It happens with our Sunday morning Bible study, with our Sunday morning worship gathering. It happens when we get together. And as it's one of the things that hasn't been a primary focus in relaunch, but it's still one of our key focuses, is that we intentionally do what we call simple Sundays. We want it to be meaningful, we want it to be impactful, but we want it to still be simple. So that frees up resources, it frees up time in order for us to focus in on our community outreach, our neighborhoods, and everything like that. So that's a bit of the model shift that we made in our relaunch. And then supporting global mission. The Church of the Nazarene, behind the Catholic Church and behind the Southern Baptist Convention, which we're kind of neck and neck with them, is one of the largest mission organizations in the world. We are in 156 different world areas as a church. We have missionaries all over. We have some hybrid models, but for the most part, our full-time missionaries with their denomination don't technically need to raise only about 5% of their funding. So we give 5.5% of all of our charitable giving to the denomination, and that then the denomination then goes through, it kind of supports the administrative structure and then also the mission work around the world. One of the things that I would love to do here in the future is to build long-term global mission partners. We can choose to partner with churches and missions and missionaries around the world and build relationships with them as well. And so that would all come out of the supporting global mission. And so homing in on these five areas allows us to, one, still have the freedom. They're not too constricted, but it keeps us on mission. It keeps us on mission. And so, essentially, this is what we're looking at. That we want to, between July and December of this year, to raise $100,000 in order to go towards our In Common Fund. So this is just July to December of 2022. And so our goal is $100,000, and this is, you can see the breakdown of where they all come. So developing community wells, $32,400. Creating meaningful gatherings, $12,380. And supporting global missions, that number can increase if we end up doing more, but that's what we pay out of our, that's literally 5.5% of our 100,000. And then cultivating caring neighborhoods, 26,120, and investing in all families, 23,600, adding up to the $100,000. And so that is our goal for July through December of this year. And one of the things, the reason why we're bringing all of this up, and as you have the chance to, as you leave today, Barb here has a letter with pretty much the manuscript of my message, in letter form. As well as even a fuller breakdown of the In Common Fund. And the thing is that as a leadership team, we wrestled with this number. It's a nice round number, and we did that on purpose, but we wrestled with this number. But we truly do believe that this is possible. We truly do believe that this is possible for us to reach this. And it's a bit of a pilot, because we want to switch to this ongoing. And so one of the things about this is, you see, now 6 months in advance, we're saying, this is how much we're looking to raise. This is how much like we need in all these different areas. And so one of the goals in this also is because we know that the church in general has not been the most transparent, not necessarily our church, but the church in general hasn't been the most transparent when it comes to finance. Let's just be honest about that. And even the reason why we're kind of going away from tithes and offering language is because we know that tithes and offering language has also been abused. And it's been manipulated. And so we're trying to show complete transparency, and not just transparency, but also clarity. I mean, we could show you all of our books, but if you can't read them, it doesn't mean anything. So we're seeking transparency and clarity. And so we are, our goal is this amount. And this is where it's, maybe this approach is just a little bit different. Before I go on to that, the transparent and clarity means that everyone who gives into the fund, and even those who don't give into the fund, we will do a monthly report on the fund emailed to you, and we're going to post it on our website. So anybody can see, this is what got brought in, this is what's going out in regards to the in common fund. And so this is what we're asking. Oh, if you also want to see, that's just a percentage breakdown. This is what we're asking. We're asking if you'd be willing to make a commitment. So that's where this is a little different. We're asking if you'd be willing to make a commitment. And this, once again, this isn't above tithes and offerings. This is kind of instead of, and wraps everything in. So if you're already a regular, giver with us, it would just be kind of projecting out to end of December through December and be like, hey, this is how much I would usually give in tithes and offerings. This is how much I usually give to maybe the Thanksgiving offering, into the building fund, into missions that I'll donate to children's. Add all that up and be like, hey, this is what I would give. So if the Lord leads you in that to increase, great. Maybe you're not a regular giver and you're like, hey, this is a great time to jump in. And I would ask, if you're going to give a commitment, don't be like, oh yeah, I'll give this amount, and really have no plan to give it. Because this will actually help us budget and plan. We will shift and change some of our initiatives based off of our commitment. Now, you might see some pattern. I know some people are like kind of iffy about making commitments and everything like that. And we totally understand that. So you don't have to make a commitment to be able to give into the in common fund. You can just give into it whenever you want to. If we start to see a pattern of your giving, we might kind of internally be like, yeah, they'll probably continue to give this. And so it helps us to budget, helps us to plan. And so one of the things that I want to bring up, and so we have this goal of $100,000. As a leadership team, we don't want to expect you to do anything that we wouldn't already commit to. That's just one of my principles of leadership. I'm not going to expect you all to do anything that we wouldn't already do. And so I have asked the leadership team to make some commitments prior to this morning. We've been talking about this for a while. And so of all those who are able to give their commitments from our leadership team, which would be staff and board, we have committed $40,800. So from our leadership team, we have $40,800 committed. So we're nearly halfway to our goal. I just want to highlight the investment and commitment our leadership has in what we're doing as a church. And so that's what I wanted to, that we're not asking you to do anything more than what we're already trying to commit to. We have $59,200 left. And one of the things that I don't have on a graphic, but I just want to throw it out there, is that our $85,000 is our break-even. $85,000 is our break-even. The last $15,000 is dedicated to redoing our courtyard and continuing to develop our community well of this space of redoing our courtyard so that it is a usable kind of functioning indoor-outdoor space. Probably is going to be turfed in some way, shape, or form, like with grass, and just be able to, so we get tables and chairs out there. We could expand our cafe. We could do, like, outdoor, like, events and everything. And so that is the goal for that. If we don't hit the 85, if we don't hit the 100,000, then we'll just wait on doing the courtyard. It's fine. But really, our break even to be able to support the ministries that we've already planned on, that we've already launched. And though I think we all want the courtyard to be done, as leadership, we don't feel comfortable prioritizing building over people. And so we have redone a good portion of this side of the building because it would help us connect with people. And yeah, that would enhance it as well, but we think that other things need to be funded first. And so 85,000, and so we're already nearly halfway. We're pretty much almost halfway to our break even. Anyway, so that is that's the Uncommon Fund. Our goal is that this will be ongoing. This will be that come January of 2023, we'll do another chat like this, maybe around our annual meeting time, and say like, hey, here's our goal for 2023. Here's the amount. Here's everything that it's going to fund this year, and ask for commitments. And this, so we wanted to do kind of a 6-month pilot, to kind of see how it goes, and to hear from you about how we can do things differently, and with the reporting and everything like that. And so, I know money is a touchy subject, and I know you might have questions. And so, I want to open it up to see if there's any questions that popped up from this. It could be. So we are working on developing some compassionate ministry partners, we are in talks also with an organization called Safe Families, which comes alongside families in crisis to be able to take in their children's all volunteer base, and then they provide mentors to the parents and everything. And so, but the pregnancy center, like, definitely could be. So that would be included into investing in all family. So, yeah. Although I make that comment, I just want to let you know, I don't see any number figures from people. So that's something that I don't do. I don't see number figures from people. I'll see a list of those who have committed, and I'll probably see a list of those that have completed their commitments by the end of the year, but I don't see any actual dollar figures. That's by my choice. But yeah, people can give in lump, they can give incrementally, however. Any other question? And this means that anything given in the Uncommon Fund will only go to these areas. Like that's where it's almost like a designated fund, but it's a pretty wide designated fund. These touches all of our ministries, all of our initiatives, everything. So, any other questions, comments, concerns? I'm not sure about this. Yeah, so the building fund, so the goal with the one fund is that we kind of get rid of all these designated funds. Now, we definitely have building projects that we would like want to try to do, like the courtyard project. And most building projects are going to fall underneath the developing community wells. And so if you regularly give to the building fund, we would ask that you continue to do that. And that'll just help us reach that goal. Essentially, we're following a model that a lot of other nonprofits and churches have actually moved towards. And what they found in moving to a one fund is that when you do a whole bunch of designated funds, some things get funded, some things don't, you know, everything like that. But what they have found that moving to a one fund where like, hey, everything gets funded if the entire goal gets met, they have found an overall everything usually gets funded a lot more than just having all these little designated funds. Any other questions, comments, concerns? I know this is quite different if you've never been here before. That we don't usually do this, but yeah. So you can give online. Essentially what you're saying is that you can give online and set up a recurring gift. And then also through our giving platform, we can set up something what's called a campaign. And so we're setting up the In Common Fund for a $100,000 goal. And so we can kind of track the campaign. If you log into that end of it, you can actually see how much you've given versus your commitment. So you can kind of track all of that. And then also, like, because we know people will probably be curious if you're like, oh, did I give this much or that month? Like, we can send out, like, periodic, like, hey, this is just kind of like where you're at in your commitment, if you give a commitment. So, yeah. There or the cultivating caring neighborhoods. It'd be like caring for our neighbors, because, you know, we're all neighbors. So that's where benevolence would fall more in there. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Any questions on how, I'm going to throw this out there because maybe in the back of some of your heads you don't want to ask it. Any questions on how this integrates with our preschool? Anyone? Yeah. I mean, the preschool is part of our overall financial structure. So our preschool is separate, but I just want to make sure, I mean, so something doesn't nag at you. There's no facilities on here. So one of the things that in giving to the In Common Fund is that it goes to what we would call like active ministry instead of like a what would be considered it, what I would almost call like an inactive ministry, which would be like the light bill, right? Like we all need light and we need heat and we need air conditioning and repairs and maintenance. And so, yeah, so there would be no facilities coming out of. Any questions in that regard? Well, it definitely supports it, but that's not it's not how we're choosing to fund facility. I'm sorry? So we'll actually, it'll be kind of like one of our metrics that we let you know about, like, hey, like we've raised this much, this is how much we have committed. So probably for the next few weeks, that's actually probably something that you'll see like scrolling on a screen here each Sunday. We'll put it on the bulletin. We'll probably put it in the neighborhood bulletin, the email that goes out, just so that people can kind of track the project progress and see how it's going. Yeah. Oh, yes. Sorry. She asked, like, where is progress going to be reported? Like, where will you all be able to see, like, the progress of the fund? So, sorry. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Yeah, so we've gone to kind of a higher, a higher structure one fund, like with between our tuition income and our tithes and offerings income. And here's pretty much what we're finding, is that actually the church and preschool were never separate financially. Like literally going back a couple decades, they were never actually separate financially. Whenever the church got into crisis mode, they just kind of pull money from the preschool. And so instead of operating in crisis, we wanted to operate in investment and looking ahead. So we can still track that. You know, our goal is that our tithes and offerings or our In Common Fund handles and covers in the future all of the operations that are really tied to it. That's not the case right now and hasn't been the case for a couple decades. So we're trying to look at it in a very forward instead of like crisis mentality. Also, if we looked at separating, it was kind of a hybrid separation. And so if we were, which doesn't really work. And so if we're really going to separate, then like the church would need to like charge the preschool like rent, which at the size of the facility at current commercial rates would be like $300,000 a year. So, and like the church and like we as an organization don't have any desire to be that separate. And honestly, I don't think the preschool could actually afford that financially. And so, because we're still below the state average, so we're trying to even be competitive and try to stay below the state average even in our tuition. Like if we had to do that, we would have to like really increase our tuition rate. If we were going to really operate. So this really is a, like, we as a church, Ridgeland Church, we operate a preschool instead of, like, oh, Little Lights Academy operates and then Ridgeland Church Academy or Ridgeland Church, like, operates, like, separately. So that's the approach. We were just seeing that, and we're like, you know, that it's there's already this like back and forth, and it was honestly like it got confusing. And when we were doing some internal audits, some things kind of got lost in translation and everything like that. And so we just decided to simplify, and bringing everything underneath one pool. And we're budgeting the entire year from our total income with between our tuition and tithes and offerings. Does that make sense? I'm gonna make sure that makes sense. Because I know that's been a thing. Like I know like in the past of this church, like the separating of the preschool and the church really has been. But as you look, they really weren't all that separate financially. The church always pulled on the preschool fund, but always in crisis. So that's, if we can get out of crisis mode, then that's what's preferred. Any other questions? I know it's been a lot. It's been a lot. So, like I said, it's been a lot of information, money. This is like the most like stressed out for a Sunday I've ever been, like talking about finances. We have a letter, and it's just blank. It doesn't have your like name on it, so like it doesn't matter which one you get. If you just want to like go back to the door. Just grab a letter from Barb. It has a commitment sheet. It has a full, like, the breakdown. If you have any more questions, if you have any more concerns, if you have anything, like, feel free to reach out to me. We don't want people to be in the dark financially about finances and how we operate and everything. That's not the goal. And we're happy to even show you our, like, monthly board report that we get for all of our finances if you want to see it. It's just a little, like, since it includes the preschool, it can get a little complicated because that's a large operation tied in with, you know, what we do as a church. So this is also a lot simpler way for us to say, like, hey, the money that you give, that you charitably give to us as a church, like, this is where it's going. So anyway, so if as we talk about commitments, we would love to kind of know where we stand within about a month. So about mid-August, if you're able to make a commitment, we would love to know that, and that gives you time to think about it and, you know, process, and it would also include any of the tithes and offerings that you give this month going into next month, like as you make a decision. So like we're just gonna kind of roll those over into that. So once again, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'm gonna pray for us. God, we talking about resources and the things of this world that tug on our hearts, but then also that as we gather together, and if we gather them together for the purpose of pursuing the expansion of your kingdom here on earth, can be a phenomenal, marvelous thing. So God, I would ask that you would speak to us, that you would call us how you are calling us to move forward and connect in with this vision and mission of loving our neighborhood. God, that we would truly pursue having unity, and that we would pursue being in common together. God, we are grateful that you have blessed us, that you have provided for us when we needed it. And God, help us to see how you're providing for us. God, your ultimate heart for us is that we would follow you, and that you would be Lord of our life and not anything else. And so help us to live in that way. In your name, amen. Thank you.